maybe. All right, well, I think kids are already dismissed to Kids on the Rock, but I believe fifth and sixth graders are now dismissed to their group, so fifth and sixth graders have an awesome time. The rest of you, I'm going to tell the story, true story, of Larry Walters, also known as Lawn Chair Larry. The youth group knows this story, but it's a story that's worth repeating. But back in the early 80s, there's a man named Larry Walters who went to an army surplus store and bought 75 used weather balloons, as well as several tanks of helium. He went to his house, he inflated these balloons, attached them to a lawn chair that he had secured to the back of his pickup truck. With several friends watching, he climbed into the chair, settled in, and untied the rope. He was hoping, a friend later said, to observe the neighborhood from a slightly different angle, to gain a new perspective on life. He took with him nothing but a peanut butter sandwich, a six-pack of beer, and a fully loaded BB gun. 2.5 hours later, Los Angeles International Airport reported an unidentified flying object in the skies above LAX at 16,000 feet. Lawn Chair Larry was now over 3 miles into the sky and hundreds of miles from his original launch site. The pilot who first spotted Larry was recorded on radio as saying, "Well, I see what looks like a perfectly still man sitting in a... Is that a lawn chair? And I think he's holding a rifle." See, his intention was to lazily saunter up to the right altitude, about 30 yards, and then use his BB gun to pop the balloons to keep himself there. However, when he untied himself from his pickup, his friends say that he shot up into the air as if he had been fired from a cannon. He panicked and did the only thing he knew to do in a stressful situation: break out the six-pack and started drinking. At about 2,000 feet up from the sudden altitude change and the mixture of alcohol, he passed out and started drifting. With an incredible rescue operation by National Guard and others, like the Avengers probably, coordinated with helicopters and lassos, they were able to grab a hold of Larry, who was passed out still, and land him safely on the ground, at which point he was given a $4,000 ticket for the obstruction of airport traffic. That's after he recovered from his hypothermia and passing out. And the LA Times interviewed Larry, and they asked him just 3 questions. The first was, "Larry, were you scared?" And he said, "Yes." He said, "Larry, would you do it again?" And he said, "No. I will not do it again." And then they said, "Now, Larry, why did you do it?" And he said, "I just got tired of sitting around." Took things into his own hands, right? So next time you feel bored, there's an idea for you. But he said, "I just got tired of sitting around." And how many people in the world and how many followers of Jesus sometimes feel like Larry? Just tired of sitting around, just kind of abiding time, just living life, and they want to do something different, unique, potentially dangerous, and something that really matters, like Lawn Chair Larry did that day. Well, as we've been through this series on the Holy Spirit, which we're nearing the end of, we are reminded that the Spirit-filled life for a follower of Jesus is not one of just sitting around, but it's one of being involved in what God is doing, of being empowered by God to do something that really matters. And last week, Mike got us started thinking about how the Holy Spirit empowers us and thinking about spiritual gifts, abilities that God gives us to partner with his people to do the things in the world he wants to do, to share the gospel, to make disciples, to be committed to the ministry of reconciliation. And some of those gifts are pretty dramatic and amazing and miraculous, like healing and speaking in tongues and prophecy and just amazing things that take place. But we see in the scriptures, and what we've been experiencing is that God dwells within us, gives us himself as the Holy Spirit, and he has dramatically changed how he interacts with his people. In Acts 2, you can read about when the Holy Spirit was poured out on the church, and Peter preaches this sermon out of Joel chapter 2, and this is on your outline. And this is a prophecy written hundreds of years before Jesus. The Joel says, "And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions. Even on the male and female servants in those days, I will pour out my spirit." And we can read about this prophecy being fulfilled in Acts 2,000 years ago when the church was birthed. God poured out his spirit on all who believed in him. And this is amazing because up till then, you know, God's spirit was moving through the world and was active. And we can read about that not only in the New Testament, but the Old Testament. But it was limited to just a certain number of people. And it was in times where people would get a word from God and very special prophets would get to speak for God. And only certain people had direct access to God, a priestly class. Most people, the way that they would participate in worship was to, you know, obey the commands and then maybe contribute an offering or of some sort as people would gather to worship. But at this point, everything has changed. No longer is it only priests or prophets that have access to God, but everyone, men, women, children, all these different facets of life. It says here, even servants, everybody, even those who are forgotten by the rest of society, have the Spirit poured out on them. And no longer is not only a priest not needed, because Jesus is our new high priest, God is working in his people and inviting his people to be on the front lines of his activity in the world. Not just supporting one or two special people that are doing God's work, but everybody. God puts his Spirit in his people to continue on his work, to not just sit around, but to be empowered to be a part of God's mission. And so we're reminded when we read the Bible, and over the last several weeks, we've been reminded that we are people on a mission, that God is working in and through, that we are empowered to do more than just sit around. Jesus appeared to his disciples after his resurrection. We're told in John 20, 21, he says, "As the Father has sent me, so I send you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." And things were different from then on. You see, we are God's voice. We are Christ's hands. We are God's plan for the world as the church. He's moving, and he's going to do it through us, through empowering us by the Holy Spirit. I remember being in downtown Denver as a teenager, and there was a Catholic church that had a garden in front of it with a statue of Christ. And we talked to one of the nuns that was at the church. And this statue of Jesus was of Jesus standing like this with his arms out, but the arms weren't there. They were broken off of the statue. And when they built the statue, vandals would come through and throw things or hit things and break off the hands. And two or three times they went through the work of spending a lot of money to fix the statue until finally, after they were broken again, instead of replacing the arms, they put a plaque on the bottom of the statue that says, "Christ has no hands but ours." Reminding their people that this is we are how God is going to work in and through the world. And that's scary because I'm nothing like Jesus on my own, and neither are you. But we are empowered by the Spirit. And we are empowered by the Spirit to continue the work of Christ. We're empowered by the Spirit to continue the work of Christ. In the Gospel of John, Jesus says this. He says, I tell you the truth. Anyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing. He will do even greater things than these because I'm going to the Father. Okay, Jesus said some amazing things. Like, do you ever read the Gospels and you read the words of Jesus and you're like, whoa, did he really say that? That's craziness. And this is one of those passages that I'm like, what? Because Jesus says, we did this at youth group last week. We talked about what has Jesus done in the world? What are the things he did? And I mean, he healed the blind, he raised the dead, he walked on water, he calmed storms, he fed people with a child's snack. Like, I mean, he just did amazing, amazing things. And here Jesus says this to he says, anyone who has faith in me will do what I've been doing. He will do even greater things than these because I'm going to the Father. What? Really? How many of you guys have preached a sermon better than Jesus? Anybody? And be like, oh, Jesus fed 5,000, I fed 6,000, you know, with a snack. Like, no, we read that, we're like, there's no way we can compare to Jesus. But he says together, because he goes back to the Father and his Spirit is poured out, then greater things are happening in the world. And when we look at the history of the church, While none of us perfectly represents Jesus, God has continued his work through the church because the Holy Spirit has filled people. You see, Jesus' work didn't stop at the resurrection. I mean, when we look at the cross and we think about what that means, nothing compares to that. It is amazing. But God did not stop there with the cross. He's continuing to draw people to himself. His kingdom has actually kicked it into high gear as he gives the Holy Spirit to empower his disciples. We sing that song when Don leads worship sometimes. It says, there is power in the name of Jesus. And the second verse says, there's an army rising up. There's an army rising up to break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. And we're reminded as we read the scriptures that as Jesus is expanding his kingdom, that when we sing about that army, that's us. That the kingdom of God is not this fortress that we huddle in to be protected from the evils of the world. No, we are God's people going out into the world. As the Father sent Jesus, we are sent, empowered by him, to declare freedom for the captives, with the ministry of reconciliation, to let people know about the goodness of God and the freedom that they have in Christ. Jesus said to Peter, I think, Kevin, you just mentioned it, on this rock I will build my church, Jesus says, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. God is on the move. He's moving. He's empowering his people. And it's, you know, this passage always made me think like, okay, the gates of hell will not prevail against the church. Like the church is here and all of a sudden there's these gates that are like jumping on top of the church to attack it. But gates aren't offensive tools, they're defensive. Which Jesus is telling us here, look, you're going to storm the gates of hell and they don't stand a chance because I'm in you. Because this is permanent. I am working in and through you. This is the real deal. The Spirit is in us to empower us. And this is a big change for God's people from before when he walked the earth. No longer was it just a select few that are out on the front lines doing work for the kingdom of God, but any of us who call ourselves Christians are there. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 5 that you are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though Christ were making his appeal through us. This means that my job as a pastor isn't really that big of a deal. It's you know, I can be like, oh, I'm a pastor. I'm very important to the Lord, you know, because I have this office and this job. But really, what this means is all of us are empowered to live this kind of life. All of us are on the front lines. All of us are empowered to go to move on. See, our world has changed when we say yes to Jesus. We are different. We belong to something new. We belong to a kingdom that Jesus established. It's an invisible kingdom. There's no capital city of God's kingdom right now. There's no borders to it, but anyone who belongs to Jesus are a part of this kingdom. And we carry out the marching orders of our King. See, we are people of justice, of humility, of mercy, of compassion, of truth, of holiness. And as we live that way and let the Spirit empower us and live through us, we represent our ultimate King. And the invisible kingdom that we belong to that is far greater than any earthly kingdom we could ever be a part of is made visible as we live according to the things that Jesus cares about. And so we are empowered by the Holy Spirit. If you're a believer in Jesus, you're empowered by the Holy Spirit to not just go to heaven someday, but to continue Christ's work. And there's much work to be done. And there's much that we can do as he works in and through us. So we're empowered by the Spirit to continue Christ's work, but then we're also empowered by the Spirit to work together. We need each other because none of us have all of the giftings of the Spirit and everything that the world needs in ourselves, but we use and work through each other. And sometimes we think about the church as being a place where there's diversity and unity, which is very important, and it's kind of like this melting pot where we all just kind of come together and kind of blend together and love each other. But really, what the church is more like is a big pot of stew. You can smell the soup cooking right now, can't you? But like where in a pot of stew, you have meat and potatoes and vegetables and onions and all this stuff come together and it kind of simmers together. And a big chunk of steak in a stew doesn't ever stop being steak, right? It doesn't. But it starts to taste a little bit like the potatoes. And the potatoes kind of pull in the flavors of the carrots, you know, and all that kind of comes together where the stew remains like individual and unique from one another, the chunks of it, yet they've impacted each other and they've influenced each other. And that is kind of what we are, is that we maintain our uniqueness, but we affect and care for one another, and we make each other even better. And when we look at the passages about spiritual gifts that Mike brought us through last week, whenever the spiritual gifts are talked about and God empowering his people, we always see emphasis on unity, on diversity, and on love as being an important part of the equation of God working in and through his people. So we have to be ready to move past labels, seeing our mission and our purpose as God's people being empowered as greater than anything that could possibly divide us, especially as God's people. You know, Mike prayed about a nation that is very divided right now. And unfortunately, that division finds its way even into the church. But we're reminded that the mission we are empowered for is far greater than anything that could possibly divide us. We should seek to understand the anger and fear and confusion around us and to be a beacon of hope. When Paul talks about spiritual gifts and the body of Christ and the unity and diversity and love as part of that, in 1 Corinthians 12, he says this. You can pull it up there, Steve. It says, even so, the body is not made up of one part, but of many. Now, if the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I don't belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. So we are by design. There is difference in who we are in the body of Christ. There's difference in the ways that we are gifted. There's difference in the way we work for our King. But there is great unity within that. You know, all this talk about gifts, it kind of makes me feel a little bit benevolent myself right now. So can I give a gift to somebody? I would love to do it. Is anyone kind of thirsty or maybe sleepy? Somebody? You look kind of like you could use something, Isaac. So I have something for you. I want you to have this can of Coke. Isn't it cute? I mean, look at it. It's got Santa on it. It's kind of this nice little 7.5 ounce can of Coke. Isn't that cute? There you go. It's for you, man. I want you to enjoy that, okay? Pretty cool, huh? Yeah. You know what? I like giving. I kind of want to give more gifts away. Somebody else. I have a 12-ounce can of Coke right here, and you know what, Grace? I would just love it if you had this. So I want you to have this, okay? It's from me to you. It's because I love you. Enjoy that. Oh, yeah. I got more gifts to give. I want to give another gift here. Somebody else. I have this. Oh, look at anyone else thirsty in the room? Gary, I've got this 20-ounce bottle of Coca-Cola Classic for you to enjoy at your leisure, because, hey, I love you, man, all right? It's from here, all right? You know, actually, I got more. I got, you know, somebody else, look at this. I've got a 1.25-liter bottle of Coca-Cola Classic. Samuel, this has got your name all over it, man. This is, don't drink it all at once, probably, but that is because I love you, all right? You know what? I've got one more gift to give, and I'm just so excited. I've got this 2-liter bottle. It's got the cute polar bears on it, and that's just so sweet. And you know what? Margaret, I want you to have this because I love you and I appreciate you. So how about your gifts, you guys? You love those things? How are you feeling, Isaac, about your little can of Coke? Feel good about it? Do you feel as good about it as when I first handed it to you? You don't know? Okay. Well, thanks for being good sports there. But human nature is such that we can love getting a gift, right? I'm a little winded from running back and forth. But when we see someone get something more than us, we can, instead of being grateful for what we get, we can start to be like, what? Hers is bigger than mine, you know? Not nearly as big as Margaret's. No fair, right? And if you look at studies that talk about how employees like to be paid, employees don't just want to be paid more money. They want to be paid more money than their colleagues. And if you want happy employees, you want them to think they're getting a little bit more than those they're working with. But when it comes to the gifting of the Holy Spirit and God being poured out on us and the way he gifts us and enables us, we should only have room for gratitude and excitement, right? And sometimes we can look at other people, and I remember being in seminary, like in homiletics classes, and hearing other guys preach, other people preach, and be like, man, that person can preach. I wish I could preach as well as that person. If only. That would be so awesome, because then I could really make a difference and people would think I'm pretty cool. But the reality is, when you think about God being poured out on people, anytime we see someone using their gifts for the kingdom of God, even if it's a little tiny, little baby Coke can's worth, or it's a big old 2-liter bottle, we should be like, yes, God is glorified. Yes, God is continuing his work, no matter what. So we need to be careful that we don't let our own envy and our sin creep in and mess up the way we show gratitude for what God is doing. You see, spiritual gifts aren't given to you to get ahead in life. Be like, oh, God gave me a spiritual gift of this so that I could get into a good college, you know, and really build up my 401k or to really make people like me or whatever it is. No, God gives us spiritual gifts and empowers us for his glory, for his sake, for the expansion of the kingdom, so that people could know him. And so we shouldn't be jealous of others when we see those gifts. We should celebrate them. And we should be ourselves. We should be a sanctified version of ourselves. We don't want to try and be someone else, because God made us as he has, and he gifts us, and we want to just be excited to serve him as we go. And then finally, we're also empowered by the Spirit in ways that we might not fully understand. And the Holy Spirit is mysterious. God is mysterious. He's so much bigger than us. He is so much other than us that we can't even begin to wrap our brains around who he is. The Spirit can be surprising and the Spirit can be confusing. Jesus said in his conversation with Nicodemus in John 3, he says, "The wind blows where it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going." So it is with everyone born of the Spirit. The Greek language is unique in that the word for spirit is the exact same as the word for breath and the exact same as the word for wind. And so Jesus is talking about the Spirit saying, look, you can't box up God's activity in the world. You can't box up who the Holy Spirit is. You see, the Holy Spirit is a gift to believers, but he's not the property of believers. We don't own him. We submit to him. We obey him. It's not the other way around. And sometimes he's going to work in ways that we don't really fully understand. And sometimes I think, like, I remember studying systematic theology, and in the West, we love, like, our theology to be very organized and very easy to understand. And sometimes when we try and have a theology of the Holy Spirit, we like to have everything nice and ordered and list and easy and can wrap our brains around it and put it in a box. But over and over again, I don't think we can do that with the Holy Spirit, because he's mysterious and he moves in ways greater than we can put our labels on. That's one of the reasons I'm not a huge fan of those, like, spiritual gifts inventories, you know, where you, like, you go on, you click all the boxes, and you're like, okay, I like this, or I can do this, and it tells you what your spiritual gifts are. I mean, they're kind of unique and interesting, and can be fun to go through, but the Holy Spirit can surprise us in the ways he shows up. And I think that there's a difference between our natural abilities and talents and also what the Spirit empowers us to do, yet there's tremendous overlap between those two things. I have an older brother, Tim, who is just an incredibly gifted artist and builder. Like, he can build the coolest stuff. And he's done this since he was, like, a little kid. Like, he would build something, and it would be beautiful and functional, and I would get really jealous of it because it was so cool. But he would build stuff, and always, he just could do it, and it was so neat. Well, he became a believer in Jesus in his early 20s, and he continued building and making cool things. Although at that point, it changed for him. He took this natural ability and began to use it to glorify God and serve churches. And he's involved in Christian camping right now and doing awesome things for this camp using those gifts that he has. And so we should look to do the exact same. We should seek to use our natural abilities to serve God, but also be ready for God to do things that only he can possibly explain. And when we read about the Holy Spirit moving, he does some amazing things in the pages of scriptures, and he still does even today. And I think we are to treat our spiritual abilities, our spiritual gifts, things empowered by God, and our natural abilities really kind of the same. I haven't told very many people this in my life, but there's been three different occasions in my life where I've been somewhere and prayed with someone who is sick or prayed in just a difficult situation. The first time it happened when I was in college, but where a group of us would pray for somebody. And afterwards, someone came up to me and said, "Mark, I don't know what this is, but while we were praying, I got this overwhelming sense that there was peace and healing that God was kind of flowing it through you." And I was like, "I was just doing what everyone else was doing. I don't understand what you're talking about." This also happened. I guess I don't need to tell you about all the times, but just to say that there's been times I've been in a room praying with people, and three different times people have said, "Mark, I don't know what it is, but there's something about you standing there. It wasn't even necessarily anything I prayed, but that it felt like God was bringing real peace into a situation." And so ever since I've been told that, I go into those situations where I pray with a sense of brevity and saying, "Okay, I don't know if God is going to show up like this right now, but I want to be available to God and for his glory, see if people can be blessed by a healing or peacemaking or whatever that is." But whatever we do, whether it's an ability like that that is totally God and has nothing to do with ourselves, or it's a natural ability, we should aim ourselves at bringing glory to God. Paul says in Colossians 3, he says, "Whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." So no matter what, as we live our lives, the focus should be on us, for us, is to be about God and his kingdom. To let people know that God loves them. That the church would be like kind of this fragrant smell in a world full of decay and mess, that would know that there's a God who loves you. And he's come after you. And so we work together for Christ's glory. And we look to him, look to the Holy Spirit to transform us, to work through us, to accomplish his will, that we would be obedient to him, that we would submit to him. The Holy Spirit invites us to sit in the lawn chair. not in this foolish way that Larry did, but in a way that says, "Okay, are you ready to work in and through me? Because I want to continue what I'm doing in the world through you." We sing this song sometimes called Hosanna. And the bridge of this song is one of my favorite bridges we sing in Christian music. Can you pull it up there? I think I have it on the slide. But he says, "Heal my heart and make it clean. Open up my eyes to the things unseen. Show me how to love like you have loved me. Break my heart for what breaks yours. Everything I am for your kingdom's cause. As I walk from earth into eternity." I sing this song a lot, this bridge at least, and it's my prayer for myself, it's my prayer for us as a church, it's a prayer for our students, that we would be people that would have transformed hearts, that we'd see the world the way God does, that we would reflect the love God has poured out on us to other people, that our hearts would break with compassion for those that are suffering, that everything we have, our gifts, our abilities, our resources, our opportunities, we would turn those around for God's kingdom cause. As we walk from earth into eternity, because this is just temporary. And the way we live our lives right now really does matter. And so we look to the Holy Spirit. We continue the work of Jesus, of loving enemies, caring for the marginalized, welcoming the sinners, forgiving our trespassers, and allowing the Holy Spirit to work and flow through us. As we stand on the front lines together, seeking God for what he wants to do in and around us, because God's not done working. He's still moving. He's alive, and he's in us. And as we pay attention to him and respond appropriately, the world can see that our God is real, and he's worth worshiping. God, thank you so much for this morning. Thank you that you invite us to not only be a part of just like a community of people that gets together, but that you want to work in and through us, Lord, that you empower us by your Holy Spirit, Lord, within us. So give us humility, Lord, and a recognition of how you're moving in and around us. May we lay down our own desires for the desires that are for you. May you be brought much glory, Lord, because we allow you to empower us and to work through us. Forgive us of our sin. Help us to be the best sanctified version of ourselves that we can be. And may our neighbors, our communities, our world know that Jesus is the ultimate King and that he's worthy of worship. We love you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. So we're going to